Hey, great to have you with us for another edition of the Precision Farming Dealer Podcast, brought to you by Ag Express Electronics. Today, we're heading out to Eagle, Wisconsin, where farmer Tyler Troiola is getting ready to use his John Deere See & Spray system for the very first time. He discusses the motivation for investing in smart spraying technology and details how he's working with his dealership to make sure he has success with it this spring. Troiola also reveals some of the steps he took to implement the retrofit system on a used sprayer, potential challenges he's anticipating, and other technologies that are really giving him that winning edge on his farm. So let's jump right into the conversation. Here's Tyler.
Between me and my uncles, some land we all rent, some land we own, it's about 2,800 acres. Corn, soybeans, wheat, only a couple hundred acres of wheat. The rest is pretty much corn, soybean rotation. Pretty much everything has a cover crop on it. After beans and corn, a cereal rye. After wheat, we get a little bit more exotic and do a 10-way mix of clover and sorghum sedan and sunflower and buckwheat, a little bit of radish, flax. There's some other goofy ones in there I can't remember, but we've been planting everything green the last few years. We've had better luck with that.
Yeah, how long have you been no-tilling and using cover crops for? And what are some of the top benefits you get from that?
My uncles that I farm with and another landlord I have were at the very first no-till conference. So has that been 30 years? They've been doing it. Been no-tilling a long time. I'd say cover crops we probably started 15 years ago. So, yeah, they've probably been on the cutting edge of it. They've been early adopters of it. And most of our soils have been kind of transitioned into no-till practices. So a lot of this stuff is, wouldn't say easier for it, but we're kind of over the learning curve on a lot of it.
On a day like today, when it's pouring rain, you'll drive by some fields that are, you could tell, are conventionally tilled.
Yeah.
And there's just giant puddles everywhere. So I would imagine that's one of the top benefits for you, would you say, just the water?
Infiltration has been a huge deal. Yeah, we've had field days before where they come out and do water infiltration tests, and you just go across the fence line and it's a giant difference. We've already had an inch and a half of rain today, and you drive around, there's not a lot of puddles. I mean, there's some, but it definitely makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we're talking about See & Spray. So did you purchase See & Spray Premium or See & Spray Ultimate?
It's the premium kit. So I bought a used John Deere sprayer. It's not new, so you can't get Ultimate on anything that's not from the factory. So it's a premium system that they added on. I think the Ultimate is the better system, but it wasn't in my budget. So we're going to start with the premium and go from there.
Yeah, it seems like that's the way a lot of people are going with this new technology, is the retrofit option.
Right.
What was the installation process like? Can you kind of take me through that?
I didn't have anything to do with it. The Deere dealer I bought it from did it. And I think Deere said it was like an 80 or 120 hour job. And they laughed at them and said, no way. And it took that long. Like, it took a solid 2 weeks, I would say, for them to do it. I think the second system they do will be a lot faster, but never doing it before, it's a pretty big learning curve for them.
Yeah, how did you kind of get roped into it or introduced to it? And why'd you go the route of See & Spray?
It was actually at the no-till conference. There were a couple, I don't know if there were direct speakers on it, but some of the main stage guys brought it up and there was a round table about it. Kind of sparked my interest in it. And then you start trying to run numbers a little bit on the cost savings of chemical and just the fact to try to be an early adopter and go to this technology before it's regulated, because there are already counties in Wisconsin where your atrazine use is restricted and stuff like that. It's like, why not try to cut down on herbicide use on your own before it's regulated? So the no-till conference kind of sparked it. And then I have buddies that bought new sprayers who had the option to put See & Spray on. We were talking about it. And at first it didn't seem like it made sense. Then the more you talk about it, it's like, yeah, let's try this and see. And then it took a while to find a machine that was capable to run on, and then to find a kit and to install it and work out pricing and all that. So it's been kind of a headache. And as we stand here now, I still don't know if it's going to work or not.
Yeah. So you bought a new sprayer just so you'd be able to install
it? Yeah, it's not a new sprayer. It's a used sprayer. I had a Hagee before, and they came out with Commodity Classic. They came out with See & Spray on a Hagee, but that's for only new model years. So that's a little out of my budget. So with Deere, they said you could retrofit anything 2018 or newer. So I found a used Deere 2018 that had like 700 hours on it.
Oh, nice.
So
how big of a sprayer is it?
So John Deere R4038, so it's 1,000 gallon, 120-foot boom. As far as I can tell, the See & Spray can only have on the 120 boom. That's what Deere says.
And so you haven't used it yet. So what's kind of your game plan going into the growing season as to how you want to implement the See & Spray system?
So it kind of came on kind of late when we first talked about it. We're like, oh, that'll be something nice to have next year. We kind of have all our chemicals bought for this year and a plan put in place. But then the opportunity came up to get into it. And we said, well, we haven't started spraying or planting yet, so let's make it work. So talked with my crop scout, talked with an agronomist, talked with a couple friends and my input supplier. And we kind of came up with the idea that in no-till with cover crops, we're a two-pass system now anyway, because we have to go out and spray all, burn down all the cover crops before we plant or right after, and then usually come back in June sometime, or like V4, V5 corn, or then in soybeans and spray again. So we thought it'll still be a two-pass system, but we're just going to try to move some of our residuals from the second pass up front to try to keep the weeds down, and then that second pass will be the See & Spray. So I deal with Tom Novak, and he deals with Rodrigo, and that's kind of was my sounding board on it.
Yeah, what kind of insights have you gotten from people like Rodrigo heading in? Any big takeaways as to...
I think he's somewhat skeptical. I wouldn't say in no-till, because I think most of his practices and what he does isn't necessarily a no-till system. I think we'll have good luck with it because we're at the scope that we can still do a good job, manage it, and it may add a spray pass to our system, but we're at the level where we have the time to be able to scout, make that decision, and make another pass. A lot of guys or the co-op isn't going to add another pass to their system. And being no-till and having cover crops as long as we do, we don't have a very big weed bank here, so we don't deal with a lot of nasty weeds as it is, because the cover crops or the cereal rye are kind of holding the weeds down already. So I'm kind of hoping that as this technology adapts, our weed bank doesn't grow as well. But I guess we're expecting to have some problems the first year or two, but it was worth trying to.
Anytime you try something new, I mean, right. You'd have to be really lucky or a genius for it to go perfectly.
Right.
So what are some challenges that maybe you anticipate, or some potential road bumps that...
One thing Rodrigo brought up and Deere brought up too is, like, especially in corn, the canopy height and the timing of the spray, like, you kind of want to wait till as close to canopy as you can to get all the weeds to emerge to be able to spray them. But then as the corn gets bigger, it's going to shade out more of those weeds, or the cameras aren't going to be able to see the weeds that are there under the canopy. And if you spray too soon, the weeds may not be emerged yet, or they'll be so small they can't see. The other thing I'm questioning in a no-till situation where we have a lot of rye, like, is brown rye going to show, like, how is it going to handle... How are the cameras going to handle heavy residue?
That was one of the questions, actually, that my boss, Frank...
And I haven't been able to get an answer on
my boss, Frank Lesser, is curious, you know, will work on brown residue, and can you use it, you pre with covers? Or that was his big question also.
Technology is advancing so fast. I think we'll have a lot of answers to this, and after the first season, we'll know. But right now, it's different if you're spraying brown on brown or in corn or in beans. So our thought was some year, why won't it be able to pick up your rye cover crop or your clover cover crop, and you could tell it to kill it or not kill it or be selective that way? But I don't know how well because I would imagine all the testing Deere did was conventionally tilled brown fields.
And let's burn a quick time out to remind you that the Precision Farming Dealer podcast series is brought to you by Ag Express. Dealers, farmers, and those in ag know the importance of getting the most from their efforts. Technology has been a significant game changer when it works, and when it doesn't, turn to the experts at Ag Express Electronics, who find a way by specializing in the timely repair, support, sales, and engineering of ag technology. Ag Express provides component-level repairs to save time and money on those costly replacements. They also offer wiring harnesses and custom solutions to meet your customers' unique needs. A vast portfolio of over 2,000 supported products allows Ag Express to provide possibilities for numerous agricultural concepts, whether planting, harvesting, chemical application, or hay baling. Ag Express has a solution for nearly any operation. You can feel confident doing business with Ag Express Electronics because of their excellent reputation, track record for quality work, and commitment to technology. The company is 100% certified, employee-owned, and celebrating over 30 years of providing possibilities. Now, back to the conversation. Do you have a network of any other no-tillers you know of that have used this, or are you the only one you know of right now?
Right now, I'm the only one, but like I said, I heard about it at the no-till conference. I know there are guys out there. I think a lot of those guys were more of the brown-on-brown situation, like spraying fallow or spraying wheat ground or something. I don't know offhand of anybody that's using the system. I know a couple guys that have bought it, but they're kind of in the same boat as I have, where We haven't used it yet this year.
So when you go out and fire it up for the first time, are you going to be riding solo or someone from the dealership going to help you out? Or
there's a lot of calibrations to do. They gave me a big 4x4 sheet of paper or something you're supposed to put down and calibrate it. And the guys that set it up, there were two guys that set it up. They said they both want to be out here, and even they're not sure how it's going to work. So I think the first day is going to be a pretty big trial run.
So what are you applying with it, and at what approximate rates? Just label recommended rates?
Well, that's the thing, too. A lot of these products don't have a label for See and Spray, and if they do, they're a lot different. So we need to work through that. Like even your gallonage, like gallon per acre of water might vary or change. And then my thought was, if you're just See and Spraying, and if you're only going to spray 10 to 20% of the field, you can afford to do a higher tank mix rate just spraying those acreage. So corn, like we usually spray Roundup status, Callisto coming back, we'll probably spray the same, but just up those rates. So where there is a weed, odds are it'll be a little bit bigger. We'll be able to really nail it. Obviously still following labels, but hoping to be on the higher end of that use rate.
And what's the timing of the application? Like, when are you planning on using it?
It's going to be where the most management and scouting comes in. Like corn, I think it'll be the V4, V5 window, which isn't a very long window. It depends a lot on rain. If weed pressure is heavier than that before, I think this first year it may add a pass just till we dial in what we know we're doing or if we have a lot of misses. Beans, too, are going to be tricky with some 15-inch beans and some 30-inch beans. Trying to time when that residual is running out, when weeds are emerging, as compared to when 30-inch beans are going to canopy. There's a pretty big window in there. It's going to be a learning curve.
Yeah, definitely sounds like it will be a learning curve. If you were to say when it's all said and done, maybe not this first year, because like you said, you'll be learning things a lot, but what would it take for See and Spray to be worth the investment for you? Like, what are you hoping? What kind of savings are you hoping, maybe?
Well, I'm kind of hoping that it'll pay for the difference from the sprayer I traded into this sprayer. I kind of hope it'll, not in the first year, but over the depreciation schedule or the life of the sprayer, like I'm hoping that the chemical savings will pay kind of for the cost of the technology. I'm not really looking at it from a custom spraying standpoint, but more from just a farmer standpoint. If you can save X amount of dollars on your chemical every year, you should be able to apply that to the technology and invest in technology instead of invest in jugs of chemical.
Mm-hmm. Any other big pieces of precision technology you're using other than the See and Spray?
Yeah, I think big reason we could go from a Hagi with a front boom back to a Deer with a rear boom is RTK GPS and the use of AutoPath. I think you're probably familiar with that, where takes the lines, and that stuff has come so far. It's absolutely incredible. And even with See and Spray, that wouldn't even really be possible without exact apply nozzle bodies on 15 inch, having a shut off every 15 inch. Just the chemical savings from that and the precision of that has come light years. Drones, I think, are coming. I think they'll have their place. I don't know if they're totally refined yet. I have one, we use it to scout and stuff, but as far as spraying goes, I think they have their place, but maybe this might be the last sprayer we ever own, and then it'll be drone spraying after that. I think they're coming pretty rapidly.
And then everyone talks about autonomy a lot. See that having a place?
Autonomy is here, and it's real. I mean, most of our tractors are 10 years old, and you can still sit at your computer desk in the morning and put in your guidance line, your field boundary, your variety, your rate, your prescription, pretty much enter everything in. We have automatic turns in our tractors. Like literally the only thing you do is sit in the tractor, make sure I would think in the next 10 years, autonomy will be really, I don't know that we'll be sitting in a tractor in 10 years, just the way it is now, even from when it's changed in my short farming career, it's really come a long way.
So how's the planting season going so far? Do you have a lot of your corn in the ground yet?
We just got an inch and a half rain today, so we were kind of running out of dry ground before that. Now this will really slow us down. I would say we've got about half our beans in. I would say maybe, I don't know, John, we have a third of our corn. Got a ways to go.
That seems ahead of a lot of people, though.
So there are certain parts of the state that are a little behind, but we had a couple of breakdowns early in season that slowed us down. We upgraded our corn planter this year, and then it turns out our tractor didn't have enough. That had a hidden glitch in it that we just found from updating the planter. So that cost us 3 or 4 days.
But, oh, no.
Got that fixed. So we're doing okay. It just needs to dry out a little bit.
And anything I'm leaving out about the See and Spray that you think people
should
know?
What do you think? I mean, what have you heard about it? I'm just excited about it because I think it's the future and I want it to be an early adopter of it.
you're ahead of the curve. You're the first no-tiller I've talked to who's using it. So
it's going to take a lot of patience.
Well, it sounds like you've been a heavy adopter of other precision technologies in the past. So it sounds like you have the right mindset that you understand that it's not going to just be smooth, easy transition.
Part of that being no-till, like we don't have to buy a vertical till every year. We don't buy a chisel plow. I don't have any 500 horsepower tractors. Like that frees up a lot of our budget to spend on technology. So the one or two tractors we do have, we can afford RTK auto path. The sprayer and the drill are the biggest used pieces of equipment on our farm. I mean, so to have a sprayer be your most technologically advanced, I think makes the most sense because you use it the most, cover the most amount of acres with it.
And that'll do it for this edition of the Precision Farming Dealer Podcast. Thanks again to our sponsor, Ag Express Electronics, for making this series possible. Also, thanks to Tyler for taking time out of his busy day to let us visit with him about getting that See and Spray system ready for the second pass in June, so we'll have to go back and check in and see how it goes. But until then, for all things Precision Farming Dealer related, head to precisionfarmingdealer.com. I'm technology editor Noah Newman. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's episode. We'll see you next time.